Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's begin with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless us. Father God, pour down your mercy upon us and show us your truth. Show us your worth. Lord God, speak. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the first question I have is, what would be the equivalent of this buried treasure? Or what would be the equivalent today of this pearl of great price? What is worth so much in the world that men would do almost anything to get it? They would spend almost any amount of money to have it. And perhaps the best example that I could think of was the United States presidency. In this past election, there was a huge amount of money spent for that. In fact, it was a record amount. People tell me it was almost twice that of any other election in history, not only just in the U.S., but in the entire world. Martina is going to put up some values. Now, those are all, so the lowest is $326 million. And this is in U.S. dollars. And the largest is somewhat over $2 billion. Now, raise of hands, how many people think it's letter A? Total amount for the U.S. presidency in this 2008 election? No one, not one person. Okay, $712 million. One person, brave soul. Letter C? Okay. About half, and letter D finally. A little less than half. Well, the answer is apparently D. A little over $2,300,000. Apparently, John McCain spent about $326 million. Obama spent about $712 million. And if you want to know, well, that doesn't really add up to the higher figure, you have to count in Hillary Clinton and all the other candidates. But more than that, you actually have to count in the actual political parties behind them. So there was money that sometimes people give to a political party, and then the party spends it to promote the candidate. So that's how you get that number. And also, just a fun fact, for Obama to win, per vote that he got, it cost him about $7. So if he got about 100,000 votes, or 100 million votes, and it cost him $712 million, that's again about $7 per vote. Now, so that we can end that on a good note, I'm just going to quote the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. Before God, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing." That's what I have to say about politics. But that's just me. Today we're going to look at Jesus' view of real treasure, of real value. But first, let me give you a helpful reminder about parables. Parables normally only have one main point. So sometimes they're going to have maybe two or three points or sub-points. But the idea is that they are not something called allegories. Every part of the parable really isn't meaningful. Those little parts of the story are simply there just to make it a story, to make it memorable. So, for example, in today's parable, the treasure is hidden in a field. And what does that mean? What could the field be? Why is it hidden? And well, I don't really think the hiddenness has any specific symbolism or representation behind it. So, when you read the parables for yourself, hint, hint, remember, you ask yourself the question, what is the big picture? What is the main thrust that Jesus is trying to get across? And these two parables tonight are quite easy to understand, partially because they're really short. And they're linked because they have the same point to them, which is a common feature of a lot of Matthew's parables. They reinforce the meaning of the other. And the main point of these parables is this: the kingdom of God is so valuable that it is worth sacrificing anything to gain it. So, the point is the worth or the value of the kingdom of God. That's the teaching goal of these two. And it's not saying anything about, oh, well, we have to buy our salvation. God's salvation is a gift. It's free. It is without cost. However, if the kingdom of God has such great worth, then it is worth sacrificing for. It is worth making our top priority. So, whatever it is that might stand between us and God's kingdom must be put aside. It needs to be given up. No matter what the cost, this treasure is worth it. Now, let's clarify the term kingdom of God. You might hear that thrown around a lot in churches. And let me start by quoting Jesus. At the start of his ministry, Jesus came and said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And although this parable is only going to show one aspect of that kingdom of God, its worth, if you want to get a broader view of what this kingdom of God is, my suggestion would be to read the Gospel of Matthew. Hint, hint. In particular, as you read through Matthew, pay attention to the parables. The vast majority of parables in Matthew start by saying, "The kingdom of God," or "the kingdom of heaven was like." Now, let's look at our first parable. If you lost your page, it's on page 980. Verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." Now here we notice the kingdom of heaven. Now, why does it say kingdom of heaven and not kingdom of God? Is there a difference? Well, I think heaven is just a polite way in the ancient world to say God without actually saying God. So, the kingdom of heaven means exactly the same thing, the kingdom of God. Same thing. So, the next question is, well, what is the kingdom? And maybe we should back up a step and say, well, what is any kind of kingdom? Well, a kingdom is the dome or domain under which someone is king. So central to any kingdom is the king. So it is the realm in which the rule of the king exists. So God's true king is Jesus Christ, and the kingdom is anything under his rule. So we could say the kingdom is life which submits to Jesus. Jesus as king is wiser and stronger and worthy of our respect. He is worthy to rule us. And we can never divorce the idea of the kingdom of God from the king. So, in our parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. So the treasure is not just the rule of Jesus, but in some ways the treasure is Jesus himself, the king himself. Jesus is worth more than we can imagine. Now, perhaps the only significant difference between these two parables is the way the people found the treasure. The one man was in the field, and he wasn't particularly looking for treasure, was he? He only seemed to stumble on it. So it is with some people who come to know Jesus. The process is relatively quick and easy. They hear the news, and it makes sense. They see the value right away, and they believe. On the other hand, there was the pearl merchant. And let's look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So he was looking for it, perhaps his whole life. And he had been around pearls his whole life. He knew all the details. He knew all the different kinds, all the sizes, all the colors, all the shapes. So it was a long process before he finally found the value of this great pearl. And when he did, he sold everything to get it. So it is with some of us. Many people have tried various religious options, various political ideologies. Some people go to church for years, perhaps since they're children. Some people hear the gospel hundreds, if not thousands of times. They hear the good news. They hear about Jesus the King. I mean, perhaps they hear about him at Christmas, and they hear how a king was born. But yet, it's only later on, after much thinking, much searching, many doubts, that they finally grasp that Jesus is worth letting go of everything. So let's review. The main point of this parable, actually these two parables, is that this kingdom of God, which is centered on the king, is worth sacrificing anything to get it. Now, if we take that to be the meaning that Jesus had, then people might have two questions about that statement. And the first question might be, those people who do not yet consider themselves followers of Jesus, those who do not look to Jesus as the king of their lives, the question would be, what is it about these Christians? What is so good about this king and this kingdom they keep talking about? Is there anything that's really worth giving up all your time, giving your money, changing the way you act, changing the way you think, changing their whole life? In short, is anything worth that much? And the answer, it might be cliche, but the fact is, because Jesus is the true king. He's the true king of all of us. That's what Christmas is really all about. It's not about warm feelings. It's about how the king was born. And we will be judged on whether, in the end, we are servants of that king or we are rebels of that king. There is no happy middle ground. There will come a day of reckoning. And if you look at the next parable with me, it's another short one, the parable of the net, in verse 47. It explains it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, on a lighter note, I've been saying over the past few months to read the Gospel of John, if you've never read it. And if you've done that, your next assignment will be to read the Gospel of Matthew, which has a totally different approach on Jesus in some ways. And as you read, you can ask yourself, what does this gospel say about the king? And you can also ask, what does this say about the kingdom of God? Those are major themes in the book of Matthew. The second question that we might have about the worth of the kingdom is this. This is for people who already consider themselves followers of Jesus. People who live day by day under the domain of his rule. The question is this. How can I get more passionate about God's kingdom? I consider myself a Christian, but sometimes I just don't feel like God's kingdom is worth that much. Sometimes I feel really distant from this idea of the kingdom, and I feel distant from Jesus as the king. So I would say this. The more we grow close to the king, the more the kingdom will prove its worth. It is intimacy with the king which produces passion. To be compelled, to be passionate about the kingdom of God, to find its worth, we first need to be convinced about the king. We need to be deliberate. We need to make intimacy with the king a priority. And as we grow closer to the king, we will see the value of his kingdom. And now everyone is going to achieve that in a different way. But what better time than New Year's? We can make new priorities. The goal? Intimacy with the king. Uniting our purposes with his kingdom purposes. Seeing our vision become the vision of God. Now, I'm hesitant to give examples because it's going to be possibly very different from each person in this room. Perhaps we should get more plugged into the church. Perhaps we need to rest more. Perhaps we need to find a more mature Christian and let them mentor us. Perhaps we should start journaling. Perhaps we should get more committed to world missions. But that's up to you to go home and talk to God about. Most of us, before we go home, will be going to a party after this service. So let me suggest, as I end, that we take at least a little time at whatever party we're at to discuss the new year, discuss our priorities. And if you happen to be talking to a Christian, you can ask the question, my goal is going to be more intimacy with the king. And you can discuss, how can we do that? How can we love the king? How can we grow to know the king better and ultimately grow closer to him in intimacy? And thus, when that happens, we will see the worth of this kingdom of God. We'll see its value. So let me pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us in that goal. Father God, you have heard these words of the sermon. You know our hearts. You know what we're thinking. You know whether we're excited, whether we're skeptical. You know where we are in regard to your Son. Father God, we ask you to help us. We ask you to come. We ask you, help us to know how to prioritize you. Help us to know how we can make intimacy with Jesus a priority. We pray that you would give us insight now and in the coming days. We pray that you would bless the rest of our night, bless our discussions, perhaps at the parties we're going to, Lord. We ask you, show us a way. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, the King. Amen.